In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. One of the things we notice about Jesus in the Gospels is that he is a master communicator, a master teacher. And to do this, he most often uses the simplest of images in order to get across some of the most profound truths about God and about life. Jesus talks about simple things. He talks about coins and sheep and grains of wheat. He uses bread and wine and water. He talks about wine skins. And today's gospel is an example of that. As today's gospel begins, Jesus refers to two of the most common and everyday things we have around us, namely salt and light. In today's gospel, Jesus continues his Sermon on the Mount in using these two simple, basic images, salt and light. First, he proclaims to his followers, "You are the salt of the earth." You are the salt of the earth. As 21st century Americans, we might wonder, well, what does Jesus mean by this? In order to get to the real meaning of these words, we have to realize how important salt was to the ancient people. We think of salt primarily as a food seasoning to add flavor to our meals. The ancient people did this also, but that was not the most important thing that salt was used for the ancient folks. You remember that the ancient people didn't have refrigerators and freezers, and so they would dry and salt such things as fish and meat in order to preserve them. Otherwise, meat and other food items would rot in a very short time, and so without salt, you couldn't save your fish or your game to be used for the future. And so salt was an extremely valuable and useful commodity for preserving food as well as flavoring food. But good refined salt was hard to come by, and sometimes it was expensive. And so, for example, Roman soldiers were often paid in salt. They received a salt ration called a salarium, which is where our modern word salary comes from. However, if salt became contaminated and lost its ability to season and to preserve, it would just be tossed out. Also in this passage this morning, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus proclaims to his followers that they are the light of the world. The light of the world. Jesus' followers, including you and me, are to let our light shine for others. We are the light of the world. In fact, hiding one's light under a basket would be as foolish as using salt, which has no flavor. And so using these simple, colorful word images, Jesus is telling his followers, and he's telling you and me, that we need to live out our call to be salt and light for the world, not merely through our personal private devotion, but also through our collective actions toward others out there in the community. Actions that point to the flavor and the glory of God's presence. Jesus this morning is urging that you and all of us, that we be the light that illumines and the salt that preserves God's love as we do God's work of justice and mercy and healing in the world. As followers of Jesus described as salt, through our words and actions, we help God provide meaning and value to people's lives. As followers of Jesus described as light, we work each day to help God provide persons a beacon of hope, guiding them through the storms and the hardships of life. And so in broad strokes, Jesus is helping us to get a handle on what it means to be a Christian community what that would look like, or what a Christian lifestyle would look like, what our ministry as followers of Jesus might resemble using these simple images. One time many years ago, a visitor to Lambaréné in West Central Africa found the great medical doctor and humanitarian and scientist Albert Schweitzer. Albert Schweitzer, as you know, was world famous back in the day. In 1952, he won the Nobel Peace Prize. He was known all over the world. He was a household figure in this country. And this visitor found the great Albert Schweitzer in West Central Africa. And he found him, of all things, pushing a wheelbarrow. Turns out that Dr. Schweitzer was helping some local men build a new road to their village. And this visitor was shocked to see this great and famous medical doctor and humanitarian doing such a menial and lowly job. And so the visitor asked Dr. Schweitzer this question. He says, "How is it that you, of all people, push a wheelbarrow?" Dr. Schweitzer wiped the sweat off his brow and he replied. He said, "Well, sir, it's really very simple." He said, "First, you fill up the wheelbarrow with this dirt over here, and then you take hold of these two handles down here, and then you lift and you push. It's really quite simple, nothing to it." And Dr. Schweitzer was making an important point to this person. You see, this is how important work gets done. That's how the Lord's work is accomplished, through the simple things we do. It's in the everyday, uncomplicated things we do in Jesus' name each day that God's glory shines the brightest. The simple things we do. The authentic things we do. I look back over my 45 years as a priest, and here's what I can tell you about ministry. There really is not much glamour in ministry. There really is not much flash in ministry, real ministry. But rather it's in the simple, often menial, sometimes unpleasant, even mundane things we do in Jesus' name, that the glory of God shines the brightest. The greatest victories of the faith are most often won in the little, seemingly unimportant acts of faithful service, acts which often go completely unnoticed by others. We must never get the idea that as people of faith that we are too sophisticated or too spiritual or too educated or too lofty to get our hands dirty or to get involved in the real work and responsibility and struggle of ministry. As Albert Schweitzer might say, there will always be wheelbarrows to fill. There will always be hungry children to feed. There will always be coats and jackets and shoes to provide. There will always be habitat houses to build. There will always be ugly wounds to bandage. There will always be the firm and the frail to attend. There will always be floors to mop. There will always be beds to make and dishes to wash for Jesus' sake. But you see, here's the good news in all this. It is through doing these unglamorous things that God calls us to do each day that we are then the salt of the earth and the light of the world. It's through the routine, everyday jobs and simple acts of reaching out to others in Jesus' name that you and I bring the light and the flavor and the wonder and the healing power of, and the joy of God's presence into the lives of people. All that you do is important. Anything you do for another person in Jesus' name matters. It's all a part of being the salt of the earth and being the light of the world. It is so important for all of us, each one of us, to have some basic understanding of this idea of ministry, because Jesus calls each one of us into some kind of ministry. And it does not need to be anything that is greatly profound or glamorous by the world's standards. And I say this because Jesus stressed it so much in St. Paul in the New Testament. But it turns out that each of us is expected to have a ministry of some kind. There's a role. There is a job for each one of us in this community that we call the church, the body of Christ. And so one of the most important questions we can ask ourselves is this one. Lord, what is my ministry? What should my specific role or job be here in the church and in the community? In other words, what can I do in order to be salt and light to the world? How do we go about discerning our ministry? As we wrestle with this question, Jesus might warn us to be patient with ourselves in our search. He might urge us to slow down and take it one step at a time. Once again, keep it simple. Jesus might tell us that the first thing we need to do to find the ministry is to begin following him. That's the way it was for the disciples, you remember. He called Peter and James and John. He said, come, follow me. That's step number one. We begin discerning our ministry first by taking up our cross and following Christ in the company of others. In other words, we get involved in Christ's body, the church. We begin by making ourselves available and open to God's presence. We open our lives to the possibility that God will use us. We begin focusing on the things that Jesus tells us to do, such as love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And as we begin to do these things, when something gets our attention, or we feel the Holy Spirit tugging at us to do something, we don't fight that urging. We become willing to take some chances or spend some money or come out of hiding or maybe try something totally new and different. And somehow, some way, our personal ministry will begin to form and be made known to us. As we think about this, discerning a personal ministry, it occurs to me that one place we might begin to look is right here in this church. One ministry each of us has is to support one another here at the church. And this involves making a special effort to be here on Sunday mornings to show our loyalty not only to Christ but to one another simply through our presence. It's called a ministry of presence. It involves being here to participate in the life of this congregation. In other words, our ministry could begin right here amongst ourselves. Another thing to think about in discerning our ministry is this question. You might ask yourself, how has God blessed me lately? How has God blessed you lately? What has God done for us lately? It could be that your ministry might be to help bless others in the same way that you have been blessed. For example, maybe here at Grace Church you have found a supportive community which meets a deep need in you so you don't feel isolated and alone anymore. Maybe your personal ministry would have something to do with helping to provide other people a stronger sense of community and incorporation into our fellowship. Or maybe in a time of illness or crisis here at Grace Church, you received the encouragement and the healing you needed in order to get through a tough time in your life. A question for you might be, well, how could you help extend to others the same support, the same healing touch that has been important to you? Perhaps in answering these kinds of questions for ourselves, some image of a ministry will begin to emerge for you. How can you and I be light and salt for others? As we answer that question for ourselves, we might keep in mind that it is often through the simplest things we do that God's love shines the brightest. Amen.